So I'm originally in Kinmont. The reason that I've been asked to talk on teenagers is not that I am one. I'm older than I look. I've had the privilege of running and living in a family group home run by the Sydney City Mission. We have up to 8 teenagers there, and it's been very interesting. It's really interesting to see other people's teenagers under the microscope, and to see the relationship between very broken families. Probably at any given time, half the kids that we have staying with us are a result of broken families. Often the situation is they're with one natural parent, that natural parent finds a new partner. The new partner can't handle this teenage intrusion in their lives and forces the natural parent to make a decision between one or the other. And that's a really sad indictment on our society today. We also have children who've been abused physically, sexually, and been taken out of their home. Children who've been orphaned or parents are ill, so many different types there. So that's my background. Very quickly, the way the family group home is run is like as a family. We don't do professional counselling or anything like that. They live there long term, it's home, you can come home from school and have afternoon tea, put your feet up, and we're not going to sort of sit there analysing. So that's where I come from. I'm also halfway through a graduate DPED in English history and teaching English as a second language. So I've also had a little bit of insight into the teaching side and done pracs and all that sort of thing, which was fun. Okay. What I wanted to start off with doing, a lot of what I've got to say I think reinforces what Lynette said and is perhaps just aimed at that slightly older age. I haven't just dealt with young teenagers because very hard to define what that means. I've probably taken it through to between about 13 and 18. I mean, teenagers develop at all different rates, as I'm sure you know. And I must say, there's definitely not a typical teenager. If there's anything typical, it's in that they're unpredictable. So I haven't tried to cover all the definitions. If you know a teenager who doesn't fit what I'm saying, well, thank God if you're pressed, you know it. Because I guess I've dealt more with the extremes. Something that is really important that Lynette certainly touched on is our attitude towards teenagers, where we think, oh, the little gremlins, can't wait till they grow up. Well, that's what they're trying to do. So what I've got is a couple of conversations between some mothers, which show two different attitudes. The first conversation is between two mothers with one type of attitude, and then the second one is just a pretend mother talking about her daughter. So you've got to use your imagination. I'm not going to use a mother voice, so it doesn't matter. Okay, the first one, just pretend you've dialed the phone and you've just got one of those cross lines with the two ladies talking. It always sounds like the same ladies. And they're talking about their teenagers. One has a son called Jeff and the other one has a daughter called Kelly. And maybe as I read through these, they may be slightly exaggerated. But think about your own attitudes towards your own teenage children or teenagers that you know next door or church or whatever. Okay. Oh, Jeff, he never puts his dirty clothes out to get washed. All I ask is that he puts it in the laundry. Surely that's not too much to ask. Oh, I know what you mean. Young people today, no respect. It's like my daughter Kelly never wants to tell me where she's going, as if it's none of my business. And if I insist she goes off the deep end at me, I mean really. Jeff's like that too. He never seems to want to sleep when normal people do. And then he sleeps in half of Saturday and misses a beautiful day. What a waste. If I confront him though, it's the same thing why he even swore at me the other day. I was extremely upset by his behaviour. Oh, they can be a real pain in the neck, can't they? Oh, and Kelly, she's got some strange, strange friends. They came around the other day, studs and leather and these awful bird's nest sort of hairstyles. And the other Saturday, I let Kelly go out to this party. I shouldn't have, but I did. And she came out of her bedroom ready to go, wearing all black. Can you imagine at her age? And to top it all off, she had black lipstick. I nearly had heart failure. Well, you know, I made her take it off. But I mean, what kind of a respectable girl would do that? She just has no sense. I wish she'd grow up. Oh, yes, yes, and Jeff, try and get him to do his homework. It's a lost cause. He wastes so much time. Not that he's helping with the housework, but I do. He just slobs around, drives me up the wall. Oh, they can be little pains in the neck, aren't they? Well, they can, yeah. Okay, that's just one type of attitude. And this is, I suppose, a different sort of attitude. There's lots more that could be said. A lady talking about her daughter. My daughter Karen has a real passion for life. Very idealistic. She's trying to sort out her priorities. She's struggling through a lot of issues at the moment, I can tell. And I think arguing with me helps her to sort these things out. Not that I like arguing with her, but I think it helps. She's going through a real identity crisis, finding out who she is. I think it's really hard for a teenager these days to be black and white when so much seems grey in their world. I've had to sort through a lot of issues myself, you know. I realise I need to be flexible and honest with her, especially if I've made a mistake. She's so grown up, but she still really needs me. I just know it. I think she wants to be independent, but at the same time, she's scared. Okay, that's just something to think about your own attitudes. I know sometimes in the work that I've been doing, you get to the stage where you just feel like pulling your hair out because you think I'm doing all this stuff and nothing's happening. That really made me think. Okay, I'd like to briefly touch on the physical, emotional and spiritual also, and I'll have a few diversions along the way. Physically, well, they're mostly like adults now in appearance. The boys have finally caught up, overtaken in height. As Lynette said, very conscious of physical appearance. You'll start to see maybe the hair dye and the razor blades become even more prominent. I've noticed that getting the right look is so very, very important. I mean, whether it is wearing all black in your Doc Martens, or whether it's wearing, you know, those really tattered ripped jeans and a T-shirt with a skull on it, or whether it's just wearing what we call normal clothes, most kids are looking for that particular identity and they're attracted to it. There's so much labelling amongst teenagers. I mean, you're a Westie or a Surfie or a Bomber there's all these different labels. They've got their own little language. You're either in or you're out. You've either got it or you haven't, whatever it is. Teenage girls, I've noticed that the girls who come to stay with us, I mean, have so many different problems, let alone how they look physically. You look on their walls and they've got these pictures of these stunning 5'10" models in beautiful clothes, you know, your country road look or whatever, with these seductive, alluring looks. I mean, that's their role models. No wonder there's things like anorexia nervosa. I mean, 99.9% of us can't live up to the media expectations of how we should look. So I think it's important for us to show girls particularly what the alternative godly look should be. But that sort of stuff is garbage, really. Sure, you need to present yourself in a certain way, but the outer shell, that's all it is, just an outer shell. That's all I want to say. So physically, emotionally, again, I'm only generalising. Some teenagers go through like perfect angels and this really nice level mood. I don't know many. the emotions just seem to seesaw. Get strong outbursts. I'm sure if you've got teenagers, you know, anger one minute and elation the next minute. I mean, there's not many in-between type of feelings. They can feel such strong depression and despair. And I think, you know, you sometimes sort of feel like they've been overdosed on hormones or something. You can't always, as with adults, you can't always expect a rational response when you're having a conversation with them. I can remember very casually mentioning to a boy that was living with us if he could just tidy his room before he went out that night. It was no big deal. I said it to him a lot. And he went right off his brain. How can you do this to me? You're trapping me. I've got to go out. And he just ranted on and on and on. And it wasn't quite what I'd expected. But what we need to do is with teenagers being so sensitive is often if we can take it that step further, there's generally some reason for the outburst. It's often quite indirect. I mean, this might take it a step further. You find out his boss had been picking on him all day, so he rang his dad to try and talk about it. Dad hung up. No wonder. I mean, the frustration and the aggression that can build up in those teenage years. And if we can bother to try and take the time, it doesn't always work, we can often diffuse those very strong emotions. Another thing is that I've learnt is don't take it all deeply personally. If they tell you you're a pig or whatever, it's just the way it is. Sometimes. I mean, you take everything deeply personally and you'll be a wreck if you've got a very emotional teenager on your hands. Their emotional needs, I've only written down a few of them, but acceptance is such a strong one, especially from your parents. I suppose because I see kids all the time who haven't got that and it rips them apart. Security. It's not one that they probably let on, but they like this mix of security and excitement. It's like, I like to go home and know maybe mum's there and tea's cooked and the TV's in the lounge room and everything's where it should be. But they also like the unexpected, the exciting, you know, dabbling in different things. And that's just a couple of those. Just a side issue I wanted to mention is school. Try and remember back. Did you really like it? Most teenagers like school, and that's great. But I wanted to mention that for some, school is just a black pitch. They hate it. They really hate it. It's a place that can be associated with failure and rejection, humiliation, loneliness. And I think, remember this, if your son or daughter or whoever you're dealing with maybe starts jigging or chucking sickies or not wanting to put their sport uniform on or just not wanting to go to school, there's usually some reason behind that. It might be that they want to go to the beach, but there might be something a bit deeper than that. We had a boy with us, bright, good-looking, you know, doing quite well at school, got on with the teachers okay. And he started jigging, and we just couldn't work out why. Well, eventually we found out that his best friend had left school. He'd actually been expelled. And he had no friends. He had not one other friend in you know, 800 other kids. And he just couldn't handle the thought of having to try and break into another group of friends because he was so scared of being rejected. So the easy solution is don't go. And obviously we can't let that continue. But I think if we at least show that we've understood that there's pain there and try and talk things out with them, then that can do a lot of good for them. A couple of ways maybe to get to know teenagers is to meet their friends, find out their values. You might find out a lot about your own kid that they won't tell you. Another way is actually something that Lynette mentioned, is to listen to their music. Find out what message it's getting across. I've done that a couple of times with kids, particularly aggressive kids, and you'd be probably pretty horrified at the type of stuff that's being pumped out. A lot about anarchy and sex, broken dreams. I mean, there's very little uplifting music that's coming across on the radio, and that's what they listen to all the time. Right. Issues that they face as teenagers. I feel that if we're to work with teenagers, we need to know about these issues. I'm not saying we need to work out the right and the wrong answers, but we certainly need to be aware of the of what they entail. I've written down some. There'd be heaps more: suicide, drugs, the environment, the future of the world, war, abortion, employment, finding employment. That weighs very heavily on some kids. Sex, personal sexuality. Am I attracted to male or female? That is a very relevant issue for some kids and a very frightening one to work through. Friendships, the need for friendships. Independence, the struggle with, you know, am I independent or I'm not or whatever. Very much into experimenting, whether that's with drugs, sex, whatever, and still very much the age of working through their values and their ideals. I think the teenage years, you move a lot from the concrete to the abstract, to the very open to anything that comes along. Right. I've just written down a few questions here that we need to have considered. You know, if your son or daughter or a teenager from your church, your youth group, next door or something comes up and says to you, we need to have thought through some responses to these types of things. I remember reading that book, I think you did in the book review one year, Daddy, I'm Pregnant. Excellent book to read on how someone handled their young teenage daughter's pregnancy. Your kid comes up, Mum, my friend Kelly OD'd last night. Your son says to you, I'm not going to go to church anymore, okay? Your 14-year-old daughter asks you, Mum, can I sleep at my boyfriend's place on Saturday night? What do you think about abortion, Mum? Mum, I think I'm gay. Mum, I don't have any friends. If you're fortunate enough that your teenager or teenagers that you know can approach you, well, that's the first step. I mean, that's half the battle won. If that communication is open enough that they can say that to you, that's great. But I think they're looking for direction. They won't let you know that they are. And they really want to know what you think. So I think we need to know what we think in relation to those things. And just on the spiritual, if you've got a Christian teenager, it's usually a great time. They're usually really on fire in their Christian lives. You mightn't always agree with how they express that, but the fact that they're expressing it all is really great. I think it's very difficult for a Christian teenager in this day and age. As I said, you're going from into more and more abstract thinking as you get older as a teenager. And I mean, even from the study of Colossians, we can realise how many other things are there to lure them away, how many false doctrines and cults. The New Age movement is very popular amongst teenagers. I mean, it sounds quite cool to be involved in something like that. And then if you have a teenager that's a Christian, they really need to be reassured that, yeah, it is the role of a Christian to be black and white in a world that's very grey. Yeah, that is what we're supposed to be doing, and yeah, there is a cost. So they can weigh that up. And to look to the Bible for their guidelines to live. Don't look to the world, don't look to people, but really try and encourage them to get to the Bible to see what it's got to say, because that's truth that's going to last for us. Most of the kids who first come to the lodge, where I am, have no interest in Christianity. Some don't even know anything about it. You know, who's Jesus Christ? What are you talking about? That's the sort of young Australia that we're raising in some areas. We don't push it at the lodge at all. They don't have to go to church or say prayers or read the Bible or anything like that. We respect their individual beliefs. But I found that 9 times out of 10, when they've been there a few months, we have youth workers who are working there who are all Christians. And so the kids get to live very closely with these youth workers. And it takes a few months and they'll start to ask, how come you're different from all the other adults that I know? No, what's the story? And then they'll see the role model there, and that is such a powerful witness to a teenager. He's looking for their own identity, and when they can see a role model that's working, that doesn't sort of peter out after a month when the fad wears off, they will be really interested. And we've seen some remarkable changes in kids who thought Christians were scum, and being forced to live with them over a long period of time has really changed them around. Although I'm not a parent of a teenager, I can imagine that to have a teenager who has been a Christian and has gone away from it or has never been a Christian is probably the toughest area to cope with. As Lynette said, our strongest weapon is prayer, and just to continue to show unconditional love, which is very easy for me to say but very difficult to do. But I feel that that's all we can do. We can pray and we can just continue to love. I know at the lodge, and I imagine being a parent would be 100 times more traumatic and heartbreaking, but I know to watch someone go down the wrong track, and feel that you can't do anything about it is a very, very painful thing. But I've had to work through myself that ultimately the responsibility lies with that teenager, not the parent, not the caregiver. If they've chosen to go away from God, that is their choice, not the parents. And otherwise you're carrying the burden of their guilt. So we just need to continue to be role models and to be real prayer warriors. I think of a girl that we had staying with us who had extremely strict Christian religious parents, extremely strict. And she did everything possible to break their hearts. I mean, she was very, very rebellious. After she left us, she got very much into the drug scene, into lesbian relationships. She really tore them apart. But see that all that time, these parents who had led, I guess, sort of very, I can't think of the right word, very sheltered, I suppose, lives, and their one and only child, she was doing this to them, but they would continue to contact that girl no matter what she did. She'd call it harassment. They would actually, I mightn't necessarily agree, but they'd tell her that what she was doing was wrong and what was right, but they were always there. They'd always contact her. And eventually she got anorexia nervosa, wasn't looking after herself and had a lot of problems, got very sick. But, you know, in the middle of the night when she was really sick, who does she ring? She rings mum and dad. She rings mum and dad for the comfort and the kindness that Christian parents can provide. It hasn't improved for them, but they're going to stick at it. And I really feel that in the end she'll come through with that. I think it's almost ironic that the teenagers who go away from Christian involvement and then perhaps years and years later come back to it are stronger, they're more rooted in their Christianity. There's no chance of them being a second generation Christian. They're really fair dinkum, they've struggled with the issues, and it's a very personal thing for them. So I suppose what I'm saying is, it's easy to say, don't totally despair if that's the state that teenagers you know are in, because if they do come back, if they do sort through those things, they'll be a very strong person. The rebellious teenager sorting through Christianity isn't necessarily a cause for deep concern. I mean, that's part of growing up. They're going to struggle through the issues, and I think that's a healthy thing. In some cases, I feel it's almost more of a concern for kids who very passively and unquestioningly take on their parents' beliefs, continue to go to church, no questioning. That can be a cause for concern if they haven't really taken it for themselves personally. Okay, just to conclude, with the teenagers that you deal with, they can associate Christianity with being told off for doing the wrong thing, with not wearing the right clothes, with not being on time, with having to behave in a certain mould. They can relate Christianity, and that's what Christianity is to them, a very restrictive thing. Or they can associate it with kindness and love and sacrifice. And I think it's up to us who are working with them or living with them to choose what sort of influence we want to have. If we're nagging them all the time, hey, we're Christian, then they're going to associate those things. Whilst if we say, hey, we're Christian, but we continue to respond with this unconditional love, then I believe that will have a much deeper influence on them. I just wanted to read it's actually a chorus out of a song that just emphasises that we need to be really kind and loving, not just, I guess, to teenagers, but to any age. But I feel that the power of the love that we can show is, in a world that so lacks it, is so influential. It's only very short. It's your kindness. It's talking about God here, someone talking to God. But I feel that as we are to display Christian attributes, fit yourself in the picture somewhere. It's your kindness that leads us to repentance, O Lord. Knowing that you love us no matter what we do makes us want to love you too. Yeah, thanks. I'm sure.
sure, like me, you've been so impressed. We've learned so much and so much to absorb. I did say that if it was possible, we'd have questions. We are 25 minutes over time. Committee, give me some indication. I wonder how many people had questions that they would want to ask. Because maybe we can get these girls. Yes, would you?
We have a 14-year-old daughter who doesn't want to go to church. Do you think we have to take her along to church or leave her to herself?
14-year-old daughter doesn't want to go to church.
Do you know why they don't want to go? I think that to try and sort out why would be really good. I don't really feel like I'm qualified to stand here.
Yes, don't you think she is? Yes. I wish she'd been around when I had a 14-year-old daughter.
If they really don't want to go, I feel, and I haven't got any verse or anything to back it up, that it can do more harm to make them go than not to go. At 14, they're sorting through things themselves to be forced into something like that. Yeah, they can end up thinking Christianity is something I have to do, something I choose to do, and that's mine.